Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Tes in Erech, and we're back on daf Ches, and we're gonna take a look again, once again, at this Braisa. Okay, we're gonna do two complicated sugyas today. The second one, I think, is even more complicated than the first, I believe, but I'll let you decide. In the meantime, however, we're back on daf Ches, and we are starting again with our discussion of Nid and Ziva. Okay, so I'm gonna set ourselves up again, as I did yesterday, for successful navigation of the Braisa. Again, if you are a little bit confused or if I'm not that clear, which both of those are possible, latter is more possible than the former, so just go back, replay the tape again, and may get it a second time around. Who knows? Maybe I'm going to go back and play the tape again. All right, I told you, as I mentioned yesterday, just a quick disclaimer before I add all the information, that is the following. None of this is halach lemaisa. Simply because nowadays we have a minog in which every time that a woman bleeds, she's considered a zav gedola, and that really makes our lives and our halachic lives different than what we're about to learn in the Gemara. Liba de Hilchasa, however, right, now that's a Liba de Hilchasa. However, according to the Torah and according to the way the Gemara is going to understand everything, basically the story goes like this. A woman bleeds, it could be the first time in her life, and she now is a nida. And at that point in time now, for the next 7 days, she's a nida. And as I mentioned yesterday, it does not matter whether she bleeds 1 day, 2 days, or she bleeds all 7 days. She's going to be a nida for those 7 days, at which point in time she tefilas in the mikvah the night after her 7 days, meaning the evening of the eighth day, and she's mutalabala. She goes back home. She's with her husband. Okay. And this is her yemei nida, so the nida period is only for 7 days. Okay. The next 11 days after that are what's called Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva now means, as I explained yesterday, those are days which are not really expected for her to bleed, meaning that she has a certain cycle. A woman has a particular cycle. The average cycle of a woman is somewhere between 29 to 30 days. But the next 11 days after the 7 days are what's called Yemei Ziva. What is the story during Yemei Ziva? So if she bleeds 1 day or 2 days during Yemei Ziva, she's a Zava Ketana, what in Halacha is referred to as a minor Zava. And requires her what is called Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom. That simply means that the day after bleeding, she will tovel in the mikvah that day, wait till the conclusion of that day, and she's mutalabala, she goes home to her husband. And even if she bled for, let's say, 2 days during her Yemei Ziva, again, she's only a Zava Ketana, Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom. The next day, the day after she stops bleeding, she waits that day, she tovels in the mikvah that day, and that evening, she goes home to her husband. Okay, and that is what's called Zava Ketana. If she bleeds 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva, she's now what's called a Zava Gedola. As a Zava Gedola now, she is in a category of being definitively a Zava until she waits. How long does she need to wait? It's what's called Zainakim. 7 clean days. Clean simply meaning no bleeding for 7 consecutive days. She counts those 7 Zainakim, and at the conclusion of the Zainakim, she'll tov in the mikvah during the day. That night she'll be mutter to her husband. The following day, meaning the eighth day, she's going to have to go to the base of Mikdash and bring karbanos as a zava gedola. So that, and the purpose of the karbanos is not to make her mutter to her husband. The purpose of the karbanos are simply so that she can go into the base of Mikdash and she can eat karban. Obviously, Pesach time rolls around. Everyone wants to eat karban Pesach, including women as well. So obviously that would allow her to eat karban. Okay. This is the basic outline. This is the basic story of the schedule of a woman. As I mentioned yesterday, it's important to recognize what happens after the 11 days of her Yemei Zava. So again, we're right now explaining the Gemara only according to Rashi. There are other Rishonim and there are other ways to explain it. But for today, as it is, it's already complicated enough as it is. So just staying with Rashi. So after the 11 days of her Yemei Zava, the next time she bleeds, it could be next day, the 12th day. It could be the 15th day. It could be a week later. The next time she bleeds is her Pesach. It's the opening of her next Nida Ziva cycle. So you want to now look at a total cycle. The total cycle is going to be 18 days plus whatever, however many days it is until she bleeds again. And that'll be the beginning of her new cycle. So it's not, to say it's an 18-day cycle is a little bit of a misnomer. It's not really an 18-day cycle. It's 7 days of Yemei Nida, followed by 11 days of Yemei Zava, and then followed by whenever the next time she bleeds, and that is going to be the next time that she starts again her Nida cycle. Okay. Yeah, right.
So
In other words, what we'll call another menstrual cycle.
So she would wait for bleeding.
She'd wait for bleeding. And the next time she bleeds, that's now going to be the first day of her 7 days of Yemei Nida. Okay. It should be that straightforward. Again, as I mentioned, other opinions out there, but for the time being, for today, that's enough. Okay? Now, this woman here lost total track. She has no idea if she's a Nida, she's a Ziva. She's just simply lost. She's a Toa, right? A wanderer, if you will. And she would now like to get a hold of her cycle all over again, meaning she would like to resume to her Pesach. So what the Bryce is going to do for us is it's going to give us a formula to figure out how many clean days is she going to need to see in order for her now to be able to safely say, I am now starting my Nida cycle again. Now, let me ask everyone a trick question before we start with the Braisa. Okay? How many days is she going to need to wait in order to be mutter to her husband? Okay? In other words, even though she's lost, how many days is she going to need to wait in order for her to be mutter to her husband? I don't mean to trick everybody. So the correct answer is going to be 7 days. Because, look, she doesn't know where she is. She's a Nida, she's a Zava, she's not really sure. But here's what we know for certain. After 7 days, if she was an Ida, she successfully waited 7 days. If she was a Zava, so she counted Shiv and Akim. So in other words, as far as her husband, vis-a-vis her husband is concerned, 7 is going to be the most she's going to have to wait in order to be mutter to her husband. But that's not our discussion today. Our discussion today is not when she's going to be mutter to her husband. Our discussion today is when is she going to be able to say definitively, this is the beginning of my new Nida cycle. That's the discussion today. So the truth of the matter is after 7 days, she may be able to go back to her husband, but we want to know now at what point definitively can she now say, I'm back. I'm starting now fresh. This is my new Nida cycle. Okay? So we... Huh? Only so that from this point forward, she won't be lost. She'll be knowledgeable.
She'll have a comeback.
Look, it's important to know because when she starts her Nida cycle, she does 7 consecutive days of bleeding. She'll go tov on the mikveh that night. She'll go back to her husband. If, however, it wasn't Yemei Nida, it was Yemei Zava, now she's a Zava Gedola. Now she has to wait another Shiv and Akim. It's important. It's important for her to know where she's holding. Tana Rabbana, now I'm going to read through the first 3 lines of this Braisa. We're on Chesam and Aleph, right? I bypass the Mishnah. The Mishnah just tells us the range is going to be somewhere between 7 to 17. But our job is really to understand the significance of these numbers. So we immediately move to the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa will give us the significance of all these numbers. Toa, she is lost. Sha'amra. And now she goes into the Rav, and you know she's got to report a history. As I mentioned yesterday, right, whenever you have any type of issue, so the first thing the doctor is going to ask you is for history. So the Rav is going to ask you, what's her history? And she says, Yomecha Tame Reisi. She says to the Rav, look, I don't know where I am holding, Nida versus Eva, but I bled for 1 day. Okay, that much I can tell you. Pischa Shiva Asar. So the Rav is going to tell her, okay, you experienced 17 clean days. You will now know with absolute certainty that you will be back to your day 1 of Nida. Meaning, the day after 17, you start bleeding, you're going to be now a Nida. Okay, so all you need, it's not a small thing, but all you need is 17 consecutive clean days, and you're back. Okay. Shnei Yamim Tamei, now I'm reading on further, I'll explain in just a moment. Shnei Yamim Tamei Reisi, she goes to the Rav and she says, well, I saw 2 days, so Pischa, Shiva Asar. Again, 17. Shlosha Yemim Tame Reisi. If she goes over to the Rav and she says, I bled for 3 consecutive days, so the Rav's going to say to her, Pischa Shiva Asar. So you're going to be 17 days. Okay? So, right now, here's what we know. Either she bleeds 1 or 2 or 3 consecutive days, so her response is going to, the response to her is going to be, you need to wait 17 clean days. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Pischa Shiva Asar. And the second Rashi in the Gemara, it is long, but it's important because it really goes through everything for us. She'im lo tira ad la'achar yud zayin levad miyom zeh, az chozeh lez pesach nirasa limnot shisha v'hu. Okay, it's now after 17 clean days where now she starts bleeding, she now knows this is day 1 of my nida. demimah nafshach. L'achar yizayin levar miyom zeh, yatsa misafik shel yemei hazov. Because after 17 clean days, mimah nafshach, she's good. De'im tira ad l'achar yizayin levar miyom zeh, az chozeros l'pesach nidrasan limno shisha v'hu. I'm sorry, did I skip? Yeah. I'm sorry, I did not read well. D'mimah nafshach l'achar yizayin levar miyom zeh, yatsa misafik shel yemei hazov. De'im yom zeh shirasa mitchilas yemei zivah. Because now, remember, because she's lost, we have to take in every consideration, and we have to take in every possibility. Now, we're not going to go over everyone, because we don't have that time, and it's not important. For us, we have to consider her worst-case scenario, right? Every single time we're going to do this, we're basically going to be looking at her worst-case scenario. Let's imagine, says Rashi, that Yom Zeh Sharasa Mitchila Yemei Ziva Haya. Let's say this was day one of her Yemei Ziva. Kevin Shikalu Yudalf Yom Yasa Yemezov, Yerchika Rayasa Shlorasa Adlacha Yizayan, Utchilas Nidahi. So look, so that's perfect, meaning that's not a worst case scenario. If today was day one of Yemei Ziva, so that means now today, plus another 10 more days, she's finished with her Yemei Ziva, and next time she bleeds after that, she'll be back to her Pesach. Okay, so that's definitely not even a worst case scenario. Ve'afilu Im Tomar. Now let's say this day of bleeding is her the beginning of her nida. So in other words, it's a day of bleeding plus another 6 days of her yemei nida, plus another 11 days of yemei zova. Okay, that's 17 days. And after 17 days, now when she sees she's at tchilas nida, she's at her entrance. She's at the Pesach. Okay. Aval im tira biyom yud zayin lo yatsa min asafik. However, if she sees on day 17, that's no good. Why? Lo yatsa min asafik im yom nidahu o yom ziva di yesh lo amar shem yom zeh shabbat lefanenu kishira asa rishon lime nidahi viyom yud zayin shirasa ba asafa charasa yom shabbat nida le nidahu ve'enu tzricha shimur. Because look, it's possible that there, when she reported her day of bleeding, that was the first day of Nida. And let's say now she went 16 clean days, and on day 17 she bled. Okay, and that would be possible. And now, what's the next day? The next day is day one of her Nida. Okay. Oh, but that's just one possibility. Oh, Shema Yom Rishon Shabbat Lefanenu Miyamei Zivahi. But it's possible that the day that she reported she was bleeding could be that she was a zava. Ukeshikalo yudalf yom yatsa mei azov v'yom yuzayin shirasa bo tchilas nidahu. And the day that she's now bleeding, 17 days later, on day 17, that could actually be day one of her nida. So in other words, again, this goes back to what I said previously. Meaning, we're looking for when is she absolutely certain that this bleeding now represents day one of Nida. The only time that we could say that is if she experienced 17 clean days. Six to conclude her Yemei Nida, and 11 to go through her Yemei Ziva, so the next time she bleeds is going to be the entrance of her Pesach.
When you say 17 clean days, meaning that for those 7 days she had absolutely no flow, just one, so she only bled one day and that was it?
That's it. Again, we're not going to really follow a normal menstrual cycle of a woman. We're just reporting right now what needs to happen in order to establish certainty.
And then if she went and like she, you know, day 14 or day 12, she had one day of bleeding. She starts counting 17 days from that again.
Is it again? Repeat, please.
Let's say she's required to observe 17 clean days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So day number one is. Day number 12, she has flow again.
She's got to start again.
17 days from that again.
Right.
So that's a cycle.
Right. In other words, she'll keep doing that cycle until she'll get 17 clean days. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Now, without going through the rest of Rashi, I can easily now explain 2 days to 3 days, because again, with 2 days to 3 days, same thing, same basic story. Meaning with 2 days that she bled, okay, that's all she can report to you. Meaning she has no idea if she's a nida or she's a zava, but she's reporting to you, I bled for 2 consecutive days. So now again, worst case scenario, what is her worst case scenario? That these 2 days actually represented day 1 and day 2 of her nida. And then Right? But that's not worst case scenario. Right? I take it back. Okay? The day one was the last day of her Yemei Ziva, and day two was the first day of Yemei Nida. We're not saying that that's actually what happened. We're just now, we are now guessing, right? There's a chance that that might actually be. That day one of her bleeding was the last day of her Yemei Ziva. Day two of her bleeding was the first day of her Yemei Nida. And now, she needs to cover now the next 6 days of her Yemei Nida, plus the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, a total of 17 clean days. Then and only then can she say with certainty that the next time she bleeds is going to be the Pesach. And even, just one moment, and even if it's three consecutive days of bleeding, again, what's going to be the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario is that days one and two of her bleeding were days 10 and 11 of her Yemei Ziva. Her third day of bleeding was day one of Yemei Nida. And again now, 6 days of Nida, 11 days of Ziva.
Why wouldn't it be worse for her to use Zava Gadola then?
Because Zava Gadola only requires her to have seven clean days.
And why six?
Because Yemei Nida, in other words, according to the Torah, Yemei Nida, once she starts bleeding, she's a Nida. With or without blood, she's a Nida for the next 7 days. It's that simple. No, because there are two separate groupings of counting. Meaning when she bleeds as a Nida, or even if she doesn't bleed, she's a Nida. Meaning if it's for the first time in her life she's bleeding, and she only bleeds for 1 day, she's a Nida for 7 days. Done. That's categorized as one group of days. And then the next 11 days are what's called Yemei Ziva. And now we look for her to bleed again. The next time she bleeds will be now the new Yemei Nida.
Yeah, we can assume that the worst case scenario is the 11 days. Just go for 11 days.
No, because the worst case scenario is not the 11 days. The 11 days means that after 11 days now, she's going to be back to her Yemei Nida. What we're looking for is a worst case scenario in which it's going to be the most number of days that she's going to have to experience no bleeding. And the worst case scenario is only if you put the bleeding, in other words, her 1 day of reported bleeding, if you only put that at day one of her Yemei Nida, because now she's going to need to wait 6 more days to conclude her Yemei Nida, because that's 7 days of Nida is with or without blood, then 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and then we're back to resetting. We're looking for basically pressing the reset button on the woman. That's basically what we're doing. Clean.
In a way that doesn't make sense to me because if this first day was the first ever Nida, right, then she wouldn't have to do 17 days if she had bleeding in the middle. She would follow the count of a Nida or a Zava in between. So she would, after at day 18, would be a new cycle. But you're requiring her to wait 17 days till after the last day that she had.
I'm only requiring, I'm trying to be clear. I'm only requiring her, and when you're blaming me, but you know, it's okay. I'll take the hit on this one. Okay? In other words, we're only requiring her to do that so we could reset herself. Meaning, as I pointed out in the beginning, if you wanted to ask when is she going to be permissible to her husband, I'll say 7 days. I'll say 7 days. The Gemara later on will say 7 days. She'll be permissible to her husband 7 days. We want to know when can we say absolutely that the next time she bleeds is going to be the opening of her Nida. And that can only be with 17 days. Only. There's no shortcut.
So from 17
she's permitted? Huh? Yeah, in other words, as long as she doesn't bleed. As long as she doesn't bleed. Once she bleeds now, once again, we don't know where she is. So she could be Nida, she could be Azava, we don't know. Okay, we're talking about now the ability to reset her clock. Okay, now, let's go further in the Mishnah. Now we'll go to day four. Shoshiyamim tamei reisi pitzcha sheva asayim. Arba yamim tamei reisi. 4 days. This is all she can tell you. She doesn't know if she's a nida or she's a zava, but all she can tell you is, look, I don't know where I am, but I experienced now 4 days of bleeding. Now what? So now what? Pitzcha shisha asar. So now she only need to wait 16 days. 16 days. Okay. Why? Think about it. Because if, let's say, of those 4 days of bleeding, three of those days took place during her Yemei Ziva.
Three or two.
Let's say 3 of those days took place during her Yemei Ziva. Mm-hmm. Now what? She's a Zava Gadola. All she needs to do now is wait Shiva Nekiyim, 7 clean days, And after that, the next time she'll bleed, she'll be a nida. That's not a worst case scenario. So good. So in other words, every single time we go through one of these scenarios, you have to basically say, what's our worst possible case scenario? Okay? So now, 4 consecutive days of bleeding. So don't put all 4 of them in her Yemei Ziva. Don't even put 3 of them in her Yemei Ziva. Okay? So worst case scenario, how many are you going to put during her Yemei Ziva?
2.
Put 2. Now, if you put 2 in her Yemei Ziva, that means then that the next 2, meaning 2 are Yemei Ziva, now worst case scenario, we'll put them on days numbers 11 and 12. I didn't mean that. I meant 10 and 11. Put them on days 10 and 11. Okay? Again, I'm not saying this absolutely happened. We're just looking at the worst case scenario. Put them on days 10 and 11. If you put them on days 10 and 11, now what are the next 2 days are? Are Yemei Nida. Okay. How many more days of Nida does she have left?
5.
How many days of Yemei Ziva does she have after that? 11. 11 and 5? 16. Let's go on. Chamisha Yamim Tamei Ra'isi. I saw 5 consecutive days of bleeding. Pischa Chamisha Asar. So her Pesach is going to be now 15 days. Again, worst case scenario. 2 days of bleeding were during her Yemei Ziva, days 10 and 11. 3 days of her bleeding now introduce a new Nida cycle. Days 1, 2, and 3. How many more days of Nida?
4.
How many days of Yemei Zava? 11. 11 plus 4, 15. Okay. Shisha Yamim Tamei Ra'isi. She sees 16 days. 16 days. So I'm sorry. She sees 6 consecutive days. Sorry. Pischa Arba'asar. So our Pesach is going to be 14. Again, it's now you get it. Meaning it's going to be 2 days are going to be, again, worst possible case scenario. 2 days are going to be during her, the last 2 days of Ziva, 10 and 11, plus another 4 days of her Yemei Nida, 3 remaining, plus 11, 3 plus 11, 14. Shiva Yamim Tamei Ra'isi. She now says, she's reporting 7 consecutive days of bleeding. By the way, let's do this right now. What's the best case scenario? In other words, right, best case scenario is these 7 days of bleeding were actually her 7 days of Nida. Okay, and now she's done. She'll tov on the mikvah and she'll go back home to her husband. But again, that's the best possible case scenario. What's the worst possible case scenario? So here, we're going to again do the same thing. Take two of her first 2 days of bleeding. We're going to put that at the end of Yemei Zova. That's days 10 and 11. Then 5 days of Yemei Nida. So now 2 days of Nida left. 11 days of Zova, 11 plus 2, 13. Pischa Shlosha Asar. Okay. Shmona Yamim Tamei Re'isi. I saw for 8 consecutive days. Pischa Shnei Masar. So then, her Pesach will be 12 days later. Okay. 2 for 11 and 10, plus 6 now of her Yemei Nida. So it's 1. Plus another 11, that gets us to 12. Tisha Yamim Tamei Ra'isi. Okay? She goes to her Rav and she says, lost, but I just experienced 9 days of bleeding. Pischa Achad Asar. I'm sorry, Achad Asar. So she only needs now to wait 10 days. Asara Yamim Tamei Ra'isi, 10 days. So Pischa Asara. So her Pesach will be 10 days later. Okay? It's funny. 10 equals 10, but not for any reason that you would imagine. Meaning 10 equals 10 because if she had 10 consecutive days of bleeding, quickly let's go through the numbers. 2 of them are going to be placed at the end of her Yemei Ziva, so that would be days 10 and 11. Again, this is worst possible case scenario. Then 7 days of Yemei Nida, that gets us up to number 9. And then the next day of bleeding would be the first day of her Yemei Zova, and now she only has to wait 10 clean days. And now she knows for sure that after that, next time she bleeds, it will be a Pesach. Asara achad, Pischa asara. Achad asar. What if she bleeds 11 consecutive days? Pischa tisha. So her Pesach is going to be 9. We just added one more day into her Yemei Zova. Shneim asar. What if it is 12? So pischa shmona. So her Pesach is going to be 8. Let's pause over here for this moment in time in the Gemara, and let's think about this case for just a moment. Okay, because here we're going to add one little twist in this particular scenario, right, where she has bled for 12 consecutive days. What is our worst-case scenario of 12 consecutive days? Okay, yeah, you already figured it out. So let's think about her worst-case scenario. So let's put her now 12 consecutive days of bleeding. Two of them are going to be for the last 2 days of her Yemei Ziva. Okay? That's days 10 and 11 of her Yemei Ziva. Then 7 more days are to be added for her Yemei Nida. Okay, 7 plus 2, that takes us to 9. Now what? Now, but that's only 9 days. How many consecutive days of bleeding did she have? She had 12. So now if we're plotting this scenario on the calendar, so that means now that in her Yemei Zova, her next Yemei Ziva, she is now bleeding day 1, 2, and 3 of her Yemei Zova. Now what? Now that she bled for 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Zova, again, in our picturing this worst case scenario, now she's a Zova Gedola. Now what does she need to do? Okay, I'll get to the carbon in just a second. But hold on the carbon. Excellent point. Just give me a moment. Now what does she need to do? You see, as a Zava Gedola, now she has to count Shiva Nekiyim. Now this gets interesting. Because now that she counts Shiva Nekiyim, is she out of her Yemei Ziva? And I'll tell you the truth, I got confused over here. I myself was wondering, wait a second. Right? Are we all looking at the calendar together? I understand. I don't have a visual up. This is an audio medium. But if she were, for the first 3 days, experienced blood during her Yemei Ziva, and she counted Shiva Nekiyim as she's supposed to, now what? She only experienced 10 days of her Yemei Ziva. There's still one more day to go of her Yemei Ziva. Did she leave her world of Yemei Ziva? And the answer is no. She's still in her Yemei Ziva. She's still going to need to count one more day, one more clean day. Not because of Shiva Nekiyim. Shiva Nekiyim she handled already. Simply because we want to be able to reset. Hit the reset button. So therefore, even though day 11 is already past her Shiva Nekiyim, but still it's part of her 11 days of Yemei Zova. You can't have, Rashi says this clearly, and you know, I was fortunate enough to really understand all this. You can't have a Nida cycle less than 11 days from one Nida cycle to the next Nida cycle. So even though she experienced bleeding for the first 3 days of her Ziva cycle, and even though she counted Shiva Nekiyim, she still needs to wait one more day to finish her Yemei Ziva, and because we want to be able to reset, that 11th day has to be Naki, has to be clean day, and now, the next day, she can say for certain that she is a Pesach, she is a Nida.
Is that the way for if she's certain also? I mean, there's no doubt yet. You know, she has
yes,
you know,
yes, the answer is yes. Yes, she still needs, that next day is still going to be during her Yemei Ziva. Right, precisely. Okay, so Shnei Masar Pischa Shmona, I'm sorry, so Pischa Shmona, Shlosha Asar, and finally, she has 13 consecutive days of bleeding, so Shiva. So then, 7. Now, we're not going to do any more than that, right? Because the number will never be less than 7, right? Even, in other words, she could be bleeding consecutively for, let's not wish this, but she could be bleeding consecutively for 30 days. Regardless of wherever she is, you know for sure that she was at one point in time a Zava Gedola. She's going to have to count Shiva Nekiyim. The number's never going to get less than 7. Shein Pesach b'toa pachos mi-shiva. V'lo yasa al-shiva asar. So your range is going to be 7 to 17. Just one interesting aside, by the way, before we go on in the Gemara. You know, yesterday we had the discussion by Erechim, right? And by Erech, the range was from 1 to 50. And there was Reb Meir's opinion, that it's not a range, it's just 2 points on the line. It's interesting because I think for every other time that we're giving ranges in the Mishnayos, which is really going to be our perek is a perek of ranges, so it's always going to be a range. Meaning it's always from this number to this number. So it's interesting that really the Reb Meir really bucks the trend of the Mishnayos, in which he doesn't look at it as a range, but he looks at it as 2 points on the number chart, on the number line. All right. For whatever that's worth. Okay, Amalei Rav Ada Bar Avla Rava. Okay, we continue now in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Lamali Kule Hai, Timni Shiva V'Tishtare. So the Gemara says, let her count 7 days and she'll be mutter to her husband. All right, kind of what we pointed out earlier this morning. Meaning, this whole idea of waiting 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, up to 17 days, she doesn't need to wait 17 days. Meaning, if the point is that she becomes mutter to her husband, all she needs to do is wait Shiva Nikim, and it doesn't matter what she knows and what she doesn't know. Meaning, she's lost. She doesn't know if she's a neder, she's a zava. So what? She waits 7 clean days, miman of shach. If she was a neder, she's done with that. If she was a zava gedola, she's done with that. So just wait 7 clean days and let her be mutter to her husband. That's the question. Answer, Amar le, takanti li denido, piska kamrinan. So the answer is, you missed the point. Meaning, that's not what our Mishnah is trying to discover. Our Mishnah is not looking to discover when she becomes permitted to her husband. You're right. She'll be permitted to her husband after 7 clean days. We're looking for a reset. We're looking for when is she going to be a Nida, and when do we know definitively that she's going to be a Nida again? For that, it could be anywhere from 7 to 17 days, depending on how many consecutive days she bled. Because now we're going to know. It's important to realize when she's a Nida. Because again, according to the Torah, when a woman's a Nida, her bleeding now will start her Nida cycle. And that means for the next 7 days she's a Nida, with or without blood. That's very important to know. Meaning that if this is day one of her Nida, for the next this day and the next 6 days after that, husband can't have relations with her. Min haTorah. She's a Nida min haTorah. Even without blood. It's an important piece of information to know. Yeah, right. So it's in general, it's critical for a woman to know, and that's why if she's lost, there is a way to reset. But sometimes, though, in other words, if she like the first case of our Brisa, if she only reports 1 day of bleeding, so then if she wants to know definitively now, when is she reset? 17 days of Nikiyim. Next day after that is going to be her Nida for sure. No. 17 days total. Because 17 days total will cover every possible scenario. But she doesn't know. In other words, when she's coming to you and she's giving you history, she doesn't know anything other than the fact she bled for 1 day. But she has no idea when that 1 day of bleeding took place. It could have been day one of her Nida. It could have been day seven of her Nida. It could have been day 11 of her Ziva. She doesn't know. So to cover every single possible scenario, so 17 clean days, now you're for sure okay.
So when she resets the clock, on day 18,
right, that's day one of Nida.
Whether she bleeds or not.
No. If I didn't make that point clear, so let me make that point clear. She'll be, her first day of Nida will be the next time she bleeds after 17 clean days. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we're back to the Gemara. Kol HaTorah Zavos Mevias Karban Ve'eino Ne'echal. Chutz mi pischa sheva upischa shmona shemivin karban v'ne'echal. So now we get to Ben's issue, right? We don't, in other words, all this stuff seems a little bit foreign because we don't differentiate between Nida and Ziva nowadays, okay? But it even becomes more foreign to us because there's also a karban to consider. Meaning, when a woman is a Zava Gedola, that means 3 days of consecutive bleeding during her Yemi Ziva, she now has to bring a karban. Okay, now karban means that she's going to offer birds to the Beis HaMikdash, and one of them is going to be a karban chatas, and it's going to be eaten. You can only eat a karban. Now, she's not going to eat a karban. In other words, this is going to be eaten by the Kohanim, but the Kohanim are only going to eat the karban only if we know for sure it's a karban, only if we know for sure that she's required to bring a karban. You see, here's the problem. She needs to bring the karban because she may have been a Zava Gedola. She can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. She herself will not be able to eat karban. In other words, let's say karban Pesach or karban Shlamim. She won't be able to eat any kachim until she brings the karban. On the other hand, the Kohen who's offering the karban, if he doesn't know for sure this karban is required, he can't eat this karban. So what do? It's very simple. We bring the karban and the Kohen doesn't eat it. In order to take care of this suffix. Okay. And is that going to be all right that a carbon is brought and it's not eaten? Yeah. Under these circumstances, yes. Meaning the carbon is brought and the Kohen out of suffix is not going to eat it. Fine.
That
He'll do. In other words, he'll go through all the avoda, but just without eating it. Now, so chutz mi pischa shiva pischa shmona shemevios karban v'nechal. So the Gemara says, unless the, what's told to her is you only need to wait 7 or 8 days. Meaning 7 or 8 days. How many days of bleeding did she experience? Everyone remember their numbers? 12 or 13. If she experienced 12 or 13 days of bleeding, then we can definitively say about this woman, she was a Zava Gadola. Right? Meaning, with those numbers of 12 or 13, we could look at the calendar and say, Mimanavshach, she absolutely bled 3 days during her Yemei Ziva. Right? Let's look at the number 12. 12 is the smaller number. So out of 12, what's the worst case scenario? 2 from her last Yemei Ziva, plus 7 Yemei Nida, that takes us up to the number 9, and then the next 3 days, Yemei Ziva. Okay, so we know for sure, and that's the worst case scenario. So we know for sure that she bled during her Yemei Ziva. Not only bled, but bled for 3 consecutive days. So she's going to bring a carbon. Oh no, that can't be right. So she's going to bring a carbon. All right? So the, okay. So, and that's the woman who bled for 12 consecutive days. For sure, the woman who bled for 13 consecutive days definitely bled it for 3 days during her Yemei Ziva. Okay. So when these women bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen now will say with certainty, we're good. Meaning the carbon is not a suffix carbon. It is absolutely necessary. It's absolutely required. And the Kohen can eat that carbon. She may be a carbon of a nechal. Atu kol ha-toh zava. So the Gemara says every toe is a zava. So v'su yam echav v'yam v'shnei yam en bas v'su yikarbon hu, ela. So the Gemara quickly just corrects the braisa, kol zavos ha-to'os, mivin karbon v'enu nechal, chos mi pitzcha sheva pitzcha shmona, she mivin karbon v'nechal. Not every toa is going to be a zava, but every toa who possibly will be a zava, meaning because she bled for more than 3 days, so that she's possibly now a zava, is going to bring a karbon. But only the woman who bled for either 12 or 13 days is definitely a zava gadola, and therefore the carbon's going to be eaten. Good. All right, that wasn't that bad. Please wait. Ein ben nagayim pachus mishavu'ah. Now we get a little bit of a break over here. We talk about saras. Ein nagayim pachus mishavu'ah velo yaser ashlos shavuos. Your range of saras is going to be a range from 1 to 3 weeks, minimum of 1 week. Maximum of 3 weeks of investigation. Pachos mishavua nigei adam. When we say pachos mishavua, minimum of 1 week, that's talking about negaim that are experienced by a person. V'lo yosar shlosha shavuos nigei batem. Houses can sometimes experience a 3 week investigation process in order to determine whether or not it is subject to negaim. Amar Rav Papa. Now you were longing for agadata. Here it comes. Tzidkascha kareel. Elu nige adam. Your tzidkus is like mountains. That's referring to tzaras afflicted by a human. Mishpatecha tohom rabah. Your mishpat is deep. Elu nige batem. That is referencing to the tzaras of houses. Pasha dekra b'mayk siv. The Gemara says, okay, what's a simple pshat? So Amar Rav Yehuda amar tzidkascha kareel. Miyuchal la'amod lefanecha. Mishpatecha tohom rabah. If your tzedakah Kadosh Baruch Hu was not strong mountains, meaning if you Kadosh Baruch Hu weren't such a baal tzedakah, mishpatecha tohom rabah, we couldn't handle your mishpat. Rabba amar tzidkascha kare el mipnei mishpatecha tohom rabah. Your tzedek is like mountains because your mishpat is tohom rabah. But my kamiflugi, but the Rav Elazar, Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina de Idmar, Rabbi Elazar amar kovesh, and Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina amar nose. How exactly does HaKadosh Baruch Hu handle those quote-unquote extra averos? Now, when I say extra averos, Rashi explains over here that let's say a person comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's balanced. Balanced between mitzvot and averos. So now, according to Din, so is he good? No. In other words, justice will say that he's totally balanced, meaning his mitzvot don't outweigh his averos. Not good. So tzedakah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will somehow take care of and help tip to the side of mitzvos. How exactly does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? subject to a debate. Rav Elazar says kovesh, he weighs down the mitzvos, and Rav Yosef, Rav Chanan Amar, no say. He lifts up the averus. In other words, you have to imagine a balance with the mitzvos on one side and the averus on the other side. Now, I am just scratching the surface of the Gemara over here. What's the difference between the two? We're in the world of Agadata, and not 100% sure. But Rabba could Rav Elazar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina. And the two ways to explain the pashas of the pasuk is contingent on the two ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, you know, adjusts the balance so that the mitzvos will overweigh the averus. Okay. Okay, back to the Mishnah, back to the Gemara. I really want to start this. And we are. Ein pochasin me'ar b'chadoshin ha'me'ubar b'shana v'lo nira yeser al shmona. Okay? You do not, when making the year, make 8 of the 12 months a full year, 4 of the 12 months full months, and 4 of the 12 months missing months. Okay? Let's right now just move on in the Mishnah, and we'll come back to this in just a second. Shtei halachem einachal pachas mishnayim v'lo yoser shlosha. Talking about eating the shtei halachem on Shavuos. Shtei halachem has to be baked before Shavuos. The baking of the shtei halachem does not override Shavuos, so therefore we're going to bake it the day before Shavuos. What if the day before Shavuos falls out on a Shabbos? Okay, so then you're going to bake it on Friday. So that means the eating is going to be day 3 from baking. Lechem apanim einecha pachos mites v'lo yeser al achadasar. Lechem apanim is also not baked on Shabbos. It's baked the day before Shabbos. So now, you will be eating the lechem apanim 9 days after it's baking. Remember, the lechem apanim stays on the shulchan for a full week. You bake the lechem apanim on Friday. You put it on the shulchan on Shabbos. You don't eat it till the following Shabbos. From Shabbos to Shabbos is 8 days. From Friday to the following Shabbos is going to be 9 days. That's the minimum. It could be as much as 11 days. How do we get to 11 days? Very simple. Because let's say the 2 days before Shabbos is Rosh Hashanah. You can't bake the Lechem Apanim on Rosh Hashanah. So Thursday, Friday, Rosh Hashanah, you're baking the Lechem Apanim now on Wednesday. From Wednesday to the following Shabbos is going to be 11 days. Ein kata nimol pachos meches v'lo yosar shlemasar. The nimol is not minimum number of days from his day of birth is going to be 8, and maximum is going to be 12 days. Now, when you talk about maximum, it could obviously be much more than 12 days, but even if the baby's healthy, sometimes you will not be able to mal the baby until 12 days later. How do we get to the number 12? Let's say the baby's born Bein HaShmashos on Friday. So we're not sure, was the baby born on Friday, was the baby born on Shabbos? Safek. We now move to the next Shabbos. If we know for sure the baby's born on Shabbos, the bris is going to take place on Shabbos. A vaday mila is going to be doche Shabbos. But the problem is, this baby possibly was born on Friday. So therefore, from the perspective that the baby may be born on Friday, we cannot override Shabbos. That's only safek. Possibly the baby was born on Shabbos. We're not sure. So therefore, the bris is not going to take place on Shabbos. The bris will be pushed off to Sunday, which will not be 8 days later. It will be 9 days later. Let's now make the same scenario. But instead of baby being born Bein HaShmashos on a Friday, baby was born Bein HaShmashos on Rosh Hashanah, where again Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, Friday. Now baby was born on Bein HaShmashos. So you're not going to do the bris. You're going to have to wait 12 days later before you're able to do the bris. Okay. I'm sorry. Baby was born Bein HaShmashos Friday. Sorry. And then it was Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Even though Lo Adu Rosh.
The baby was born on Sabbath Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. We'll work it out. Okay. Now. My lo nemar nira yesa al shmona. Okay, let's do some calendar talk. We're short on time, but let's start the calendar talk. Okay, and essentially now, let me give you your background information over here for the calendar talk. We live now for the last 1700 years where it's a fixed calendar. We don't do much in terms of thinking about the calendar, right? We get it from the funeral home. We put it up on our fridge, and that's our calendar. However, There was once upon a time where the calendar was much more exciting because it was a work in progress, meaning that every month, whatever Beis Din determined to be Rosh Chodesh, that was going to be Rosh Chodesh. Every year, it was a question, are we going to add another Beis? Are we not going to add our Beis? That was more excitement. So in other words, every Rosh Chodesh and every year turned into excitement as we were watching the calendar being set into motion. Well, what sets the calendar into motion? It's very simple. We're going to have two witnesses come to Beis Din and say they saw the new moon. Okay, everyone who wants to gaze at the new moon, you may do so this week. Rosh Chodesh is on Wednesday. The Molad, who remembers?
Monday night.
People are listening. So the Molad was Monday night. Everyone understand the Molad is the time where there is perfect alignment between the earth, the moon, and the sun. The Molad is when we're not going to be able to see the moon because the entire dark side of the moon is facing us as we're in perfect alignment with the moon. The moon and sun. So the Molad is that astrological, wrong field, astronomical moment, and it's universal, meaning it's not, you know, they say the Molad in Yerushalayim. I got news for you. The Molad in Boca is going to be the same time as well. But the minhag, of course, is to always point to when the Molad is going to take place in Yerushalayim. The Molad is an astronomical event. Okay. And what happens is approximately about 12 hours after the Molad, roughly, you're going to be able to see a sliver of the new moon. It's not always going to be 12 hours. There's a lot of other factors involved. But so around Tuesday or Wednesday, right before evening, look up in the western sky and you will see a sliver of the new moon right before it gets dark. And it's going to be, the moon will be following the sun. So in other words, and it follows the same path as the sun. So you don't have to be a major stargazer. All you have to do is just see the sunset and look behind the sun. And following now, about 12 hours after the Molad, is going to be a sliver of the moon. But I say 12 hours, remember, you're only going to see it right before sunset. Or right after sunset, I should say. Okay. So this week, that could be your homework for this week. Now, and then the two witnesses see the new moon, run to Beis Din, say, we saw the new moon. Beis Din will say, Mekudesh, the new month is now sanctified. It's that easy. It is not that easy. Because what Beis Din now also has to keep into consideration as follows. We need a balanced year. We need a year in which, of the 12 months, we would like 6 of them to be Malay and 6 of them to be Chaser. Does that mean that sometimes Beis Din's going to manipulate? Yes, they will. Absolutely. Beis Din will manipulate. Because if it comes out, that let's say the witnesses come and say, we saw the new moon, Beis Din has to look at the year in total and say, oh, we made a lot of chaser months this year. And I know the witnesses come and said that they saw the new moon. You know what? How about this, witnesses? Have a coffee. Have a Danish. Why don't you come back tomorrow? And they will. In other words, if they need to, they'll manipulate. Okay? And with legitimacy. Okay, what are we looking for? We're looking really for balance. Meaning we want a year made up of 354 days. Okay, now if you take a year of 12 months and you take 6 of those months 29 and 6 of those months 30, you're going to get your year of 354 days. Now there's another factor, which is not our discussion, which is that we also need to coordinate the lunar year and the solar year, but that we take care of by adding an extra month about every third year. That's not even our topic of discussion. Okay, that we'll discuss in the beginning of Sanhedrin, and we discuss that when we get to Rosh Hashanah. But right now, that's not even our topic. Our topic right now is we just need that kind of balance. Now, the Molad, as I pointed out, is an astronomical event, which means that the Molad is going to be the exact time it takes for the moon to go from one cycle to the next cycle, right? And that cycle is, right, on an average, 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. What does that mean? In the time of the Gemara, they took an hour and they broke it up into 1,080 parts. We have minutes and seconds. There are 3,600 seconds in an hour. The Chachamim dealt, took an hour and just divided into 1,080 units. Approximately 3 seconds per every chalik. Okay? Now, we know that, right, this is Tormi Sinai, right, one of the best proofs out there that we didn't just make this up. We have a tradition that the lunar month is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. Okay. If you add that up 12 times over, you're going to realize that a full year is going to be 354 days, 12 hours, and 876 chalakim. Okay? Now, if you follow me up until now, that's great. Here's all you need to realize, okay, in order to understand the upcoming Gemara, is that 354 days later, 354 and a half days later, is going to be the expectation of your next Rosh Hashanah. Meaning in a perfectly balanced year, 6 months Maleh, 6 months Chaser, you're basically going to say to yourself, oh, I know when the Mola for the next year is going to be. It's going to be 354 days, 12 hours, and 876 Chalakim. Okay. And that's all you need to know. And you know when Rosh Hashanah was this year, you'll know when Rosh Hashanah is next year. Rosh Hashanah this year was, let's say, on a Shabbos. Okay? When's Rosh Hashanah going to be next year? Of those 354 days, just divide that number by 7. It divides evenly into 7. So take the 350 days, scratch them. How many days do you have left? 4 days left. Actually, 4.5 days left. So now, if Rosh Hashanah this year was on a Shabbos, when's Rosh Hashanah supposed to be next year? Or when's the Molad of Rosh Hashanah going to be next year? Wednesday. It's really that simple. So now, here's what the Chachamim were worried about. If Rosh Hashanah, now again, a lot of us are not in touch with this because we have a calendar on our fridge. But in the time when there was no calendar, people thought like this, just it was intuitive. It was so quick. So this year, if Rosh Hashanah fell on a Shabbos, everybody knows next year, you know what? Set your calendars. Rosh Hashanah, the Molad will be, now leave Rosh Hashanah alone for just a moment. The Molad will be on Wednesday next year. Rosh Hashanah Molad will be Wednesday next year. Now imagine that Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall out on a Wednesday. Imagine Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Tuesday or on a Monday. Or let's say Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Sunday next year. You know what the Shabbos table conversation will be? It will not be about the tuition crisis. The Shabbos table conversation will be, are the Chachamim out of their minds? Meaning, what are they doing? We know the Molad's supposed to come up on Wednesday. We know last year the Molad was on Shabbos, and now this year the Molad's on Wednesday, and Rosh Hashanah is coming on a Sunday? On a Monday? The Chachamim lose it? Right? That's basically what's going on in the discussion over here in our Gemara. Meaning that because of this concern, so basically the Chachamim were kept in check that every year has got to be either balanced or close to being balanced. So that every year you're going to either add a certain number, we're going to cap the Chachamim how many Malay months we're going to make. And we're going to cap the Chachamim how many Chasam months you're going to make. Obviously they are inversely related. Okay. That's the discussion. We'll start the discussion tomorrow.